From Duval, Washington, it's the 407 Cast. Here's your host, RSD Superintendent, Dr. Susan Leach.
Hello, and welcome to the 407 Cast, your window into the dynamic world of education in the Riverview School District, where we discuss our achievements, the challenges we face, and the innovative ways we are accelerating learning, and we're excited you chose to listen in. Good morning and welcome to our latest edition of the 407 Cast. I'm so excited about the guests that we have with us this morning because they really showcase members of our community and just one more thing that they are doing to support the students of the Riverview School District. Without further ado, let me introduce our guests, Heather Downing from the Empower Youth Network and Matt Boswell. Probably don't need to introduce you because I think everyone in our
community. Some people in the town know me, so I guess that's a bonus or a curse, depending on how you look at it. So,
pastor, and do you have another official title at Redemption Church?
No, pretty much just kind of lead pastor.
Lead pastor.
And then also for kicks and giggles, I'm a trainer at the Thrive Community Gym across the street. So yeah, that's my side gig for fun. Mm-hmm. So.
The reason you're here today is to talk about mentoring, and I'm so excited. It's so important to our students, but I think it's also equally important to the adults who participate. Heather, maybe you could talk a little bit about just the mentoring program, and I'd love to hear about how you got involved in organizing this work for Empower Youth Network.
Our program, the first mentor-mentee match met in 2017. We started at two schools in both Snoqualmie Valley School District and Riverview. We started in a school in each district. Carnation Elementary was our first school. We had 9 matches in Riverview. From there, we've grown to, I think we have like 76 matches, and we're in all schools in both Riverview and Snoqualmie Valley School District. And that 76 is just Riverview. We also have 75 in Snoqualmie Valley School District. But it started actually from our Key Leader Summit. So Key Leader Summit is EYM puts on each August and gathers people in our community to say, hey, how can we support youth in our valley better? And at one of those Key Leader Summit, the students in the room said, we want more interaction with positive, caring, consistent adults. So we did the research and we launched our in-school mentoring program, which is modeled after voice mentoring in Issaquah School District, which has been around for almost 30 years. And they have close to 500 matches in their school district. So we kind of grew it and added schools and just kept going forward. And we hear it from the school staff, the difference that it's making. They're like, I can tell the day their mentor's coming. It's a good day. And from the kids who are saying, can I meet more with them? When I don't have anyone to talk to, I have my mentor to talk to. From the parents saying, it's making a difference for my kid. Thank you so much for having this program. To the mentors who are saying, I'm changing more than the kid. And so we're seeing it on all levels. We do surveys, so we get the input from everyone and know that.
And have you been with the program since its inception?
I started February of 2018, so it was pretty brand new.
Yeah.
They had somebody from voice mentoring who came in to kind of help Laura get it kind of moving forward, and then I kind of took it from there and grew it, added the 17 schools.
I know you don't let anyone come in and have access to students. Can you talk a little bit about what that process looks like for someone who wants to become a mentor? Are there background checks? What do you do to make sure that someone is okay?
So we definitely do background checks. We start off with an application. On the application, we ask for personal professional references. We do a one-on-one interview asking questions. We do a training. Then we do background checks, what's required by the school districts, Washington State Patrol. And then we've added one, Department of Justice. They offer a free sex offender check. Mm-hmm. So we go on there, and it's a national database to check for that. Then we do driver's license checks for identity. Then we repeat what's required by the school districts. Every 2 years, we follow the same. We give the names to the school districts so they can make sure they do the background checks as well before the mentors start. And then we do ongoing training We have mentors fill out mentoring session notes so we know when they meet, just an idea of what they do. And then we just make sure we follow up with them all the time. We're doing surveys, doing lots of check-ins. They know one of our boundaries of our program is they are never allowed to exchange personal contact information, so they can't get together outside of the program.
It's a really cool process, actually. One of the things I really appreciate is the fact that it isn't simply that they onboard you, like, hey, you know, fill this stuff out, do this interview. But I think in the process, too, they're trying to think about you as a mentor. Who is the best mentee to align you with? So it's not just like
that,
this,
right.
Like it just throws into a bucket and you pull a young name and an old name and put them together. But there really is an intentional kind of thing behind it that says, oh, you're wired this way. You're interested in maybe these types of students, or you have this kind of background. This pairs nicely with this student over here. So the intentionality behind it is actually pretty awesome.
And what credentials does someone need to have to mentor a student?
That they're a relationship person. They connect with kids. They have a passion for wanting supporting kids. So they don't have to be a teacher, counselor.
Don't need any degree in anything.
No.
Just a willingness to work with students. One of the things that I think is important is just the consistency, that willingness to say, I can be there pretty regularly.
Yes.
I'll jump in on that because I'll tell you the one time I missed.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard it.
Yeah.
No, it was funny. I called in and said, I can't meet with them today. My schedule was crazy. I showed up the next week. He's like, bro, where were you last week? And it was actually kind of cool, you know, that he wanted to know that. In fact, we had a conversation a couple of weeks ago where I said, hey, next year you're going to go to Tolt and I think we get an hour together, not just a half an hour. And he was like, you're going to stay with me?
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, yeah, I go, we do this all the way through till you graduate. And so it was cool, both the where were you the week you missed and, oh, you're going to stick with me for the long haul. All the more, it was like this great accountability for me to be like, oh, yeah, as much as I'm enjoying this, this has some importance in his world, too.
Yeah.
So all the more, I was just like, oh, yeah, this kid's paying attention when I miss, man. I better show up. Like, I'm going out of town today, but we're making sure that I can meet with him today before I go out of town for that very reason, because I don't want another week where he's like, dude, that was two. You know, now you're in the hole with me, man. So, yeah.
And that's our hope, is we make that connection like Matt's talked about, that great connection that the mentee and the mentor say, hey, I want to keep meeting year after year after year. Mm-hmm. It's always a choice. And we always make sure to check in with the students and the mentors at the end of the school year, the beginning of the school year, throughout the school year. Hey, is this working? That is our goal. And we have a really high retention rate. It's like 93%. Like matches stay together year after year, unless like somebody moves. We know life happens. Our goal is that these students, to give them a consistent adult that they know what to expect and that they can depend on this person.
Do you ever have an occasion where it's not a good match? And what do you do? It sounds like if you're at 93%, that maybe happens once in a while where you put somebody together and for whatever reason, it just doesn't seem to be working.
We would rematch everybody. Some kids come into the program and maybe they're on the edge, like, I think I need this. I'm not sure if I need it. And they get into it and they're like, hey, I'm doing better than I think I am, which is a win, right? For them to realize, hey, I have it within myself. And so then we end the match. Then they're doing good and they have other check-ins through the school. So that's kind of some of those that don't go forward, is the kid realizes that they're doing well. And sometimes ones that don't work too are mentors. They thought they had the time and they didn't. And so that's also why we do take time in that process of onboarding, because we want to make sure this is a right fit for everybody and that adults can be consistent, caring adults in this kid's life.
One of the things that I hear from adults is, I don't know what to do. And I think it's really important to be able to stress what they shouldn't be doing or what it's not expected. We don't expect you to be a counselor to a child. We don't expect counseling to take place. Could both of you give just some thoughts about what is it as EYN would expect an adult to do during that time? And Matt, maybe you could just expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great question. We start off from the beginning in the training. We address that, what mentors are in our program and what they're not. And they're supposed to be like a coach, a nurturer, an encourager, and they're not to be a disciplinarian, a counselor, a savior, a fixer. So those are the things that they say they're not. And we make sure that we have check-ins and that mentors do not fall into that. So we set them up right from the very beginning to what is expected. From there, we don't have a set curriculum. Mentors are not tutors. We have a bin of games give them that they can try different things. So it's really a time about connection, interaction, relationship, and through that, making the change for the student.
It was funny for me because I could look and say, I'm a nonprofit founder, I'm an organizational leader, now I'm going to sit down with a fifth grader and I'm intimidated. like yes. In a funny way, like what do I do next? What I knew is that the concept of what mentoring is, I know even from my own life, if we get into that later, my family put the fun in dysfunction. Like we were a goofed up family. So there was people in my world as a young person that really played that role. And so that was important to me. But I think I just went in with kind of an open mind to wherever my mentee would kind of take things. And then I was prepared to kind of move on the fly. Because you might get a mentee that's very chatty. You might have another that's very quiet, one that's very secure, one that's insecure. You just don't know. And so, you know, I'm going in kind of blind. And, you know, kind of quickly, I realized that we needed a thing that became the tool of conversation somehow. And so we started off with games for a couple of weeks. And then as I was kind of learning about him, and I'm like, what do you like? And he's kind of an old soul for a fifth grader. And he loves Mazda Miatas. I'm like, dude, that car's before your time, man. He's like, I know, it's cool. And so I went poking around on eBay and found a model of a Mazda Miata. And every week we're working on this model. So we've been doing it now for a couple of months because, you know, you get 30 minutes. By the time you get it out of the box, you glue a couple of pieces together. He's never built a model before. And it's just, it's kind of like a campfire where people can talk. That's our proverbial campfire. This model's our campfire. And then as we're putting it together, we're just kind of sharing about things. He's learning how to build a thing. And then, you know, we're almost done with this one. And then he'll just end up taking it home with him kind of as a reminder. And then when we're done, we're going to ask, what could we have done different? What could we have done better? What things for our next one can we improve on? Because there's already a second one in the works. But I think it's just you have to be prepared as a mentor to understand that student enough to find that thing, and then you can kind of rally around that. And I found that that's been really fruitful for, then I'll ask how his life's going and family's going, and he just is kind of just, he's still a little bit more of a quieter kid, but he does start kind of chatting and talking, and then every once in a while cracks little jokes, and then you realize, like, this is becoming a good, solid kind of mentor-mentee bond, so.
And do you learn anything about the student before that day, or?
Not really. I mean, I don't recall that I ended up getting any kind of like, hey, here's what you need to know about maybe his life or background. In some ways, I'm kind of grateful. Let's say, for example, let's say you were going to be a mentor to somebody that may be on the spectrum or somebody that might have certain things that you want to be aware of in advance so you don't, they have an activator and you trigger it or something of that nature. You certainly want to be aware there. But I think in the case of my mentee, it was nice to have kind of a, I don't know anything, you know? And I think then that allowed me even the space to get to know them on their terms.
We tell mentors to take that time around their interests and then let them tell you their story when they're ready, rather than coming in with preconceived ideas that we kind of will as adults, rather than letting the kid kind of say when they're ready to share and they trust you to kind of give you their story. So
I'm going to go back to something you said, Matt, about your life and the importance of having adults in your life you kind of were able to tether to that helped you through.
Right.
I have a similar story as we have discussed previously.
We've had some coffee together. Yeah, we've shared our battle wounds. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how much that makes what you're doing so important to you. Mm-hmm. Is almost like a giving back.
Yeah, no, 100%. In fact, that's how it started. So I made a joke on a Sunday morning about just the kind of student I was in school, which was terrible, and the kind of family I came out of, which was, again, incredibly dysfunctional. And then Heather's like, you should be a mentor, you know, because like, hey, you seem to turn out. What happened? You know, what was the secret in the sauce, so to speak? And it was really strategic people. And the very first one for me was my sixth grade teacher, Tim Volek. To this day, Tim Volek has this thing inside me that just lives there. And this is the old school days, man, like when teachers still threw erasers at students and stuff. That was Tim Volek, right? So he had this kind of like tough edge, but this really tender heart at the same time. And I was this very, like, I started off as a very chipper, positive kid that just had that physically and verbally beat out of him by the time he got to sixth grade. And then Tim was a person in my life that just somehow saw past all of that and saw me as kind of just this insecure but needing somebody kid to just to believe in him kind of thing. I remember just through the course of my sixth grade year, he would just kind of pause, take opportunity to check on me and care about me and encourage me. And then Tim ended up becoming my baseball coach then as we went into summer. And it was that same thing where he just gave me this thing that the other men in my life didn't give me, which was that sense of, I believe in you, you can do this, you can overcome this. That really was a pretty dramatic marker, I think, in my life. And then I had another mentor, Jim Harper, that came later in my high school life. And those two people, I don't know if they were big brothers, I don't know if they're dads, I don't know what they were, but I would say without those two voices, I'm not here today doing this. I'm a very different kind of person. And so I think in light of that and knowing that those people can kind of do things that your most direct influences may be doing the opposite thing, and then they can come as this outside voice and kind of calm it or encourage it or inspire it. I think that's the thing that I looked at with this when Heather approached me. I'm like, yeah, I probably should maybe do something like that. And I had never thought about it. It just never had hit my radar until she's like, hey, you might be valuable to this program. I'm like, okay, let's find out if I am, you know. So yeah. It was pretty great in the sense of giving back for sure. But I think also just because I think for me, it's like if you can't take all of that stuff and then utilize it later downstream to help somebody else, I'm like, well, then why? That I don't want to be a cul-de-sac of that blessing that came into my life, but rather be a conduit for some of that. So
I absolutely think that has so much to do with why I am doing the work that I do now.
I would agree. Yeah. My background wasn't, upbringing wasn't easy either. Mm-hmm. And so I've always feel filled up when I'm being able to help others and do something, however that looks, whether I'm on the front line giving that or helping organize from the back end so others can.
Heather, I feel like I'm getting a little confused about the timing of this. I don't know if it was last year or the year before that there was an effort toward having high school students mentor. Did that ever get off the ground or is that happening or no?
So we piloted it in Riverview. Mm-hmm. And it's gone slowly. Issaquah School District does it, and they do it well because their Wednesdays are late start. So their high schoolers have their mornings to mentor. Where I see the challenges for Riverview is they have to do it either during the school day or they have to go right from Cedar Crest or the RLC and go. And there's challenges because they work. There's sports, there's friends, there's so many pulls for high schoolers. And so that's been the challenges to get that kind of off the ground. So that is kind of the brainstorming. So we're trying to get that, can we get that going and figured out in Riverview? And if it works and we can get that smooth, we can expand it to Snoqualmie Valley School District. Mm-hmm. But it's been, you know, we've just had a couple each year for the last 2 years. So, and I see so many benefits in it because mm-hmm. they're near peers, because high schoolers would only mentor elementary. We do the same onboarding for these high schoolers. So they have to fill out the application. They have to get references, professional references mm-hmm. or personal references. They have to do a one-on-one interview. They have to do training. They have to interact with adults. It's so many life skills that I could see the benefit. And then they're giving back to a student. Like our mentors say, I'm getting more than the student is. So I see the benefit if we could make it work.
And Matt, from the time you started the application process, how long before you were sitting with your mentee?
I'm trying to remember, Heather. Maybe you can ring my bell on that one. I think because it was probably early summer when I onboarded. Yeah. And then I think it was late September, early October, the first time we sat down together. So, because I think like school had to get sort of started up before we jump into, you know, that space. And then my schedule is a little wonky. So I think I was probably a week lagged from a lot of the other mentors probably getting on board with their mentee.
I would agree. You came in the summer. So we don't have matches meet. If school's not in session, they don't meet. So it was probably, but beginning of October, mm-hmm. end of September.
And then are you coordinating with the school on a time or is it?
Not directly. She's interacting with, I'm assuming the counselor at
the teacher.
The teacher, yeah. To figure out what would be a good, you know, daytime kind of thing based on where we could put it together. And then that just stays consistent every week.
So it kind of depends what grade level, whether I deal with the counselor or teachers and the school. Each school does it a little bit differently, but either I coordinate with the counselor or the teacher to say, hey, what works for your classroom in elementary. Middle school and high school are definitely my contact, either a TOL, it's the school nurse and safety officer, or the high school. It's a counselor admin.
And so are you careful about when you're pulling them? I'm assuming mm-hmm. that you're trying not to pull them out of core content. And
correct. Yeah. We try not to do core classes. Also, if a student isn't crazy about going to school, but they have a class that's like, I love this class and it's getting me to school, it's what I'm excited about, we don't want to take them out of that as well. Yeah. So we try to find a time that works for the student and the mentors.
Heather, I understand that EYN's mentoring program is a Gold Star program. And could you talk a little bit about what that means?
Youth Success Mentoring, we got our Gold Partner status through Mentor Washington. And Mentor Washington is part of a national organization. And what that means is our program has the highest level of implementation of evidence-based best practices for youth mentoring. So our program has gone above and beyond with our innovative plans so that we get the best outcomes for our youth. This month is National Mentoring Month, and so what it means is it's a time to celebrate mentoring. It's for all of us to come together to thank our mentors, like Matt and all those that mentor, and then also share the need for mentors across our state, across the nation. And Youth Success Mentoring, which is a program of Empower Youth Network, is we do have a need for mentors in both Riverview and Snoqualmie Valley School District. And it's pretty simple. You fill out the application, we do the training, we do the onboarding, we're here to support mentors. It takes 60 minutes or less once a week just during the school year. No school, you don't meet. So summer break, winter break, anytime there's no school, you don't meet. And we understand people get sick, they take vacations, but they can consistently commit to it the majority of the time. You meet with the same student one-on-one. We provide activities and ideas for mentors to do. If you're never sure, like, I don't know what to do, what to say, we're here to support you, along with you'll have a contact at the school that they can support you, do problem solving if you need it, or just come alongside you to support you. Plus, you meet amazing, cool people that are like-minded and wanting to support the youth. We have just social times where we get mentors together just to meet each other.
How do you select students that are appropriate for mentoring?
So mentoring is a tier two intervention with the MTSS. And so schools, they recommend the student. The student has to agree and the parents have to sign a permission slip for a student to be in the program.
And I always try to clarify acronyms, MTSS, multi-tiered systems of support. It's how we intervene when students are not being successful with the core curriculum. So thank you, because that's really important. If someone is interested after listening in becoming a mentor, what do they do? Who do they contact? Can they go online? What's the best way for them to get connected?
Yeah, they can go on our website, empoweryouthnetwork.org, and go to the Youth Success Mentoring page, and there's a link to our application. They could also email me. It's just heather@empoweryouthnetwork.org, and I can answer your questions through email, have set up a phone call, Zoom call, whatever, if you have questions about the program, and then get you started.
And we can probably put that in the notes, that contact information. So if you don't remember it or you're looking, we'll have that in the notes. As always, I feel like the time just flies by and it's already time for us to wrap up. So I just want to thank both of you. This was such a great episode to be able to highlight some things that are happening for kids in the Valley. And I really appreciate both your time this morning, but your time in general and what you give back to the community and the work that you do. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and also thank you for everything you guys are doing. I mean, that's the other part of it too. Like, you know, I come in for a half an hour one day a week. You all are in the trenches all the time. So yeah, thank you for that, because it really does take a village in that sense. So yeah.
We love what we do.
Yep. And so, the school staff. I mean, there's so many amazing school staff that I get to have interaction with through this program. They have huge hearts for these kids.
Yeah, it's kind of a bonus. Like, I didn't expect that. Like, when because I'm at Stillwater, right? Mm-hmm. And so Jack's my buddy up there and all this. But I walk into that office, it's good vibes.
Yes,
like, legitimately,
for sure.
It's like they're upbeat, they're positive, they're helpful, they're funny, you know? Yeah. So I'm like, hey, this is, you know, again, my kids are all adults. So, you know, I haven't been in that world for a long time, but excellent crew up there for sure. So it's fun to be able to just have that other touch point and see the positives throughout the district. So
I say this all the time, but this district is so special. I've been in school districts around the country, and there is just something really distinctive and unique about this place, and I feel very honored to be here. probably the best thing that's ever happened to me.
And I hear it across the board from my mentors too. Oh, the school staff is so welcoming and it's so nice to be there, and they're happy to have me there.
So true. Well, thank you again. And for our listeners, remember to tune in next week when we continue our conversations about all things education.